Hey everyone, well, welcome to Stutter Talk, changing how you think about stuttering one podcast at a time. This is episode 444 for March 12th, 2014. I'm your host, Peter Reitzes, starting off as always with some good voluntary stuttering. I'd like to welcome to the show from the other side of the pond, Paul Thompson in Weymouth, England. Hey, Paul.
Hello. How's it going?
Oh, it's great. I'm so glad you could join us from, I guess, across the world is a fair way to say it.
Almost, yeah. Yeah, I suppose. Across the pond, as it were.
Paul Thompson is a 32-year-old person who stutters, and he recently appeared on the British series First Dates. IMDb describes this series as an interactive dating experiment in which real dates are filmed, and then viewers get the chance to apply to date the unsuccessful participants the following week. Mr. Thompson works as an assistant manager in an ethical trade gift shop. Wow, a person who stutters going on it's hard enough to date and stutter, right? But to go on a reality television show where you're dating and stuttering, what was that like and why did you choose to do it?
It was a bit surreal at first, if I'm honest, but it was really good fun, really enjoyed it. The main reason I went on there, first of all, because I thought it would be kind of fun, get yourself on TV as well. I got no problem with putting myself out there, doing new things, put myself in different situations. I quite like it, but as the process of auditioning and whatnot went on, I kind of realised if I go on TV and I've got a stammer, I might be able to raise some awareness about it for other people and maybe give other people with stammers or any kind of speech impediment or anything really the courage to go out there and do new things.
Well, I certainly think you have done more than your fair share in raising stuttering awareness, and I've seen you on two episodes of First Dates, and
yeah.
You carry yourself very well, and I think you're a really good role model for people who stutter and stammer, so thank you.
I've had a lot of positive response back from people who stammer and people who have got who know people that stammer, and a couple of people have told me that because of me on the show, they've gone out and they've spoke to people they wouldn't normally speak to, or they've done things that they wouldn't normally do, which I think is really great.
So let's play a clip right now from your first appearance on First Dates.
Hiya. Can I just get a pint of lager of Coors? Thanks.
32-year-old heavy metal fan Paul isn't giving up on finding love. Last week, he dated Canadian writer Christine.
Have you been to Germany?
Yeah, when I was younger, with the family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Wouldn't mind going back actually. Yeah, that's a...
And in the clip, you're described as a 32-year-old heavy metal fan, and we have some time. I'm going to ask you a little bit about your heavy metal preferences.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Because that's good fun. So you're shown ordering a beer and stuttering, and your date is shown to finish a sentence for you. She says, I think, the word back to complete a sentence for you. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I thought it was really great that this reality show caught something that happens to stutterers every day, which is we get stuck and somebody tries to help us, whether they're helping or not. Well, what did you think of that scene?
Both dates were kind of similar. I mean, the one where she mainly finished my words and spoke over me a bit, yeah. It was... because I knew that she wasn't expecting a person with a stammer to be there, I kind of let her off a bit. It did annoy me a bit, but I kind of let her off. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting you should have, you know, corrected her in some way, but I was curious what you thought about that, because that type of thing really happens on first dates and second dates and tenth dates. Yeah.
Not everybody but he's used to it. She might not have ever encountered somebody with a stammer. So then to be dropped in the deep end on a first date with somebody, she's not quite sure how to react. Like you just said, a lot of people think they're helping you, and they're really not.
Yeah, I really liked seeing that scene, because I just think it catches something that us stutterers have to deal with a lot. And it just sort of showed how difficult that is, because what are you going to do on a first date? Are you immediately going to say to somebody, I don't like it when you do that, because it could come across the wrong way. Although you could certainly say, I do like to complete my own sentences because it makes me feel better about things, or whatever it is.
I mean, later on in the day, I did mention that it doesn't help when people talk over me or finish my sentences. There's a bit later on in the date where that happens.
On this very same date, basically you and your date agreed that you would just be friends, you would just be buddies, there was nothing romantic about it. And I thought that was like a really painfully honest moment, because I don't know about you, but for me, the last thing I ever wanted to hear from a girl was, you know, I think we're going to be good friends. what did you make of that?
We can both agree there wasn't really anything romantic going on there.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if we were to meet up again, we'd be fist bumping and high-fiving, but
that's cool. I like
that's fist totally cool.
Bumping and high-fiving.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, I mean, like, yeah, we can hang out as buds.
Friends.
That's
high-five. Sweet.
Well, if I'm honest, she wasn't really my type anyway. I mentioned on the interview, I don't think they showed it, the interview with me afterwards, I did mention that she wasn't really my type, we're from different worlds anyway. So I think if she hadn't said, let's just be friends, I would have probably said it anyway. So that wasn't too bad, I didn't mind that.
So let's play another clip. And then, so you're talking about dating in general, and you said that women, you think they're not going to want to talk with me. You can't say sexy stuff with a stammer unless you count sounding like a snake.
Like a snake, yeah.
This time, Paul's hoping his stammer won't ruin his chances.
I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't had too many actual girlfriends. You think they're not going to want to talk to me. You can't say sexy stuff with a stammer unless you count sounding like a snake.
But then there's another scene in the show where a woman, it looks like you're having a good date with a blonde woman. She basically says she likes the guy with the nose that's just a little bit off.
Paul's date today is Catherine, a 29-year-old science teacher from Liverpool.
Good to see Paul.
Yeah, I don't like typically good-looking people. Yes. I like people who've got maybe a little bit of a big nose or funny ears or something kind of different about them. Even crooked teeth, but not too bad that they need surgery or anything.
And it sounded like she was saying something like a stammer I find sexy. What do you make of those two things?
Well, when she said that, I mean, I didn't know that she had mentioned that, obviously. So when I watched it on the show, that was a bit weird. Because that's what I like, exactly what she said about what she finds attractive on a guy, the nose, the teeth, or whatever. That's what I like physically about a girl as well. And I mentioned that on the interview, but they didn't show that. But I guess the stammer's not really a physical thing, is it? But then she mentioned that she thought it was like an accent as well, which was quite interesting.
So the way the show works out is that you're set up on a date, and then people at home can contact the show and say, hey, I'd like to date Paul Thompson?
Well, they didn't actually do that on this series. That was only on the first series, which was called instant dating, I think. And I mentioned that, and they said they weren't doing it in the second series. They'd cut it out. So the dates were actually, they were both set up by the people on the show separately.
Because I was wondering if the woman who said that she liked the guy with the slightly crooked teeth, if she had contacted the show and said, "Hey, I want to date the."
Oh right. Stanley. Oh no. She hadn't. But I'm guessing they set me up with her anyway because of that. They obviously thought, "Well, Paul's got a stammer. This girl likes guys that have got different things about them. Let's set them up and hope." How do you? It'll work.
This is Stutter Talk. I'm Peter Reitzis here with Paul Thompson, joining us today from Weymouth, England. So, Paul, I'm thinking, like, going back 20 years, I was having a conversation with a speech language pathologist here in the States, and he was saying to me, "I don't get it. Like, why do women go for stuttering guys so much?" Because you often hear stutterers say, "Oh, it's hard to date if you stutter because of the stuttering." But I actually think that stuttering can be as much as a help during dating as a hindrance. So the speech pathologist is asking me, why do you think that stutterers get dates so much? And I said to him, well, it might be this broken wing thing that some women seem to have, where they liked it. And I might get a difficult time by saying this from the listeners, but I have known a number of women who have dated stuttering guys, and it basically sounds like, you know, they're bringing home the bird with the broken wing to try to take care of them. And do you ever get that feeling?
Well, to be honest, no, not until the show. Not until the show was aired. And I started getting a lot of feedback and people contacting me on Facebook and Twitter and stuff. It wasn't until then that I realized it. Girls would they'd be messaging me saying, oh, I really like your stammer and all this. I find it endearing and stuff. So I thought it was odd because I've never really heard that before. But it makes sense, though, from what you were saying about the broken wing thing.
Yeah, and another side of that same coin is that while it might be a, you know, quote, broken wing, it could also be something that makes us stronger. Like, you know, people know we've had to deal with this very challenging situation.
And it's a talking point as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
definitely a talking point in it, on a date.
Well, you know, just seeing you on the show, if I may be as bold to say so, it didn't seem like you needed to go on a television show to get a date, but it seemed like more of something fun for you. Is that a fair way to say it?
Well, you say that. It's quite hard to get a date down in down in Weymouth.
So you're
not just me, just in general. A lot of the girls there are a bit kind of think of a nice way of saying this.
Yes, because this is a family-friendly program.
Yeah, exactly. Not my type.
Not your type, okay.
No, two girly girls, do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I know what you mean in the sense that the first date show described you as a heavy metal fan, which probably most adult men I know are not, and they chose to air a scene where you're on a date, and the way that they show it is the first thing the girl asks you about are your tattoos.
Oh yeah.
So they're presenting you as not only a person who stutters, but as a person who culturally or artistically might be a little out of the mainstream.
I suppose so. Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing I gotta say, it was so cool when you not only wore a wristband of the British Stammering Association, but you talked about it with your date. I mean, let's hear that clip.
What does that say?
Oh, that is the wristband from the British Stammering Association.
Do you wear it in the shower?
Yeah.
I don't mean that. I don't mean that in a weird way, but is it?
I wasn't going to take it in a weird way until you said that, and now I'm like, wait a second.
To me, it's kind of like something. It's kind of like an accent, or
yeah, I guess it is.
You know, I don't.
Yeah, an accent that takes you half an hour to say a word.
And not only did you talk about it, but they chose to air that piece on the show. I mean, were you planning to talk about your membership in the or your participation in the British Stammering Association?
Well, I mean, I'm not actually a member. I just got the wristband because I've got a stammer. I mean, I contribute to the Facebook page occasionally if something comes up. But I wore it because I always have it on anyway. Because it's a talking point. People ask what it is, and then I mention it, and they go, "Oh, you got a stammer," you know, like that. Which is what happened on the date.
Mm. Now, in the States, we sometimes call that advertising stuttering, where we're putting it out in the open so that we can talk about it. I mean, is that a strategy you use to face your stuttering?
Possibly, maybe. I never really thought about it. I just wear it because I've got a stammer.
Just to push it just a little more, so when you say you wear it because you have a stammer,
yeah.
Have you thought more about, like, well, what is, I mean, just have you thought about more why you might do that?
Only to get people talking about it, really? Yeah.
Well, that seems like a great approach for me. I really admire it. There were years and years where every time I went for a run or for the gym or to the gym, I would have a shirt on from the National Stuttering Association or Friends. And I still do quite a bit. And it does make me feel strong to have a shirt on that lets other people know I stutter.
Okay. That's cool.
So, I know you said you're not a member of the British Stammering Association. Do you hang out with or ever get together with other stammerers, stutterers?
I haven't actually, no. But since the show, I've had some people contact me that live in nearby that have been talking to me, and I've been talking back to them. Somebody was on about starting up a local support network based in Weymouth or the Dorset area, which is quite interesting.
Now, do you know offhand if there is a local support chapter where you live?
There isn't. No. I've looked into it. I've been on the British the Stammering website and had a look, and the nearest one's just miles away, too far. And obviously, they do their conferences up in Scotland and other places, but it's too far for me to go to join in. Scotland's a long way.
Well, I mean, it's great to talk to you for many reasons, but it's pretty rare that I get to speak to somebody who's open about his stuttering but not part of the stuttering community. Because I frankly just assumed that you were more active in the stuttering community.
No, not at all.
Ah.
Probably because there isn't any support network nearby. To be honest, I've never really thought about it. I've just accepted the stammer as part of me, but not tried to make it become me, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. And I to get to acceptance, I really needed to meet other stutterers, because I grew up feeling very alone with the disorder. I mean, I never met another stutterer until I was about 21, 22 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I didn't grow up knowing stutterers. The only stutterers I knew growing up were Porky Pig from the cartoons and the guy Stuttering John Melendez on a very popular radio show here.
Okay.
But I didn't personally know other stutterers, so it was very important for me to go out and meet them. So I read in a newspaper article about you, and again, this is Stutter Talk with Paul Thompson, who just appeared on First Dates. I read that after appearing on the show, a speech therapy program in England contacted you and invited you to participate. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was, I can't remember the dude's name now. It was, but it was from the Starfish Project or program, it was called. It was meant to be this month, but it's been postponed now until May, because I completely forgot I've got other things on at the time.
So did they contact? Why did they contact you? What were they offering?
Basically, they saw me on the show, or somebody saw me on the show who works for them, and they thought, "Here's a guy that could really use our help. Let's give him an opportunity to come on the course for free," which was really nice of them.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that, because it could have gone either way. Because when I read that, you know, I thought, well, gee, that's really nice of them. But I also thought, why is it that when, you know, I'll say it to you this way. In the States, when I was first starting to deal with my stuttering, and I had a lot of very noticeable stuttering like that, I can remember meeting speech therapist and them saying, "Oh, why don't you come work with me and I'll help you with that. I'll fix you." So it's just sometimes I was offended at times, because I thought, well, I'm not talking to you so you can offer to treat me. I was just having a conversation with you because we're at a conference together.
Yeah.
So it could have gone either way, but I'm glad to see that you took it as, I'm not even glad to see it. It's just interesting that you took it like they were being, that it was a nice gesture.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's all it was, yeah.
So do you have any other thoughts about your experience on the show and about the awareness that you're raising about stuttering and stammering?
Well, I mean, other than the people contacting me, Twitter and Facebook and online as well, actually, I had a couple of people come up to me on a night out saying that I've given that they don't really go out much because they've got, he didn't have a stammer, he had some other kind of speech impediment, not a lisp, but he had I can't remember now, but he was saying that I gave him the confidence to sort of go out on a night out with his mates rather than just staying at home all the time, which was kind of cool.
That's really great. By going, I mean, how many first dates have you been on this television show?
On the show, I had two dates.
So aside from being a good time and a fun experience, do you think this is helping you in some way deal with your stuttering?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I've still got the stammer, obviously, but the show's, it's definitely given me a bit more confidence. So not necessarily not from going on the show itself, but from the feedback from people saying well done, congratulations for doing it, must have been hard and all this.
So when I think of England, I think more of punk music, like the Sex Pistols, Clash, Wire, and you are a self-described heavy metal fan. They
definitely
describe you like that on First Dates. Is there a heavy metal scene in England?
There is, yeah. Well, I mean, we invented it, didn't we?
You mean with Black Sabbath?
Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden and stuff, yeah.
Wow, so do you play? Are you in a band?
No, I'm not. I don't even play an instrument. I can sing. Kind of.
All right, so top two or three heavy metal bands, lay it on us.
The thing is, I like so much different kinds of heavy metal. It's really hard to pick two. Let's see, two of the bands I'm listening to at the moment. One is a death metal band called benighted. And another sort of new thrash death metal band called Revocation, which you might not have heard of.
I tend to hear, if I go to like Pitchfork or something, I'll read about sort of the artsy metal. Or when I lived in New York, there was a big magazine, Time Out New York, and the music editors always put forth the what they thought was hip metal, hipster metal, I should say.
Oh yeah, that doesn't interest me. I'm not really into that, like the popular metal stuff, apart from Iron Maiden and obviously the classics, which are obviously still popular, which are more popular with other people as well, not just metal fans.
You know, I'm smiling because as I'm talking to you, we've had on the show a few times the British author David Mitchell, who wrote Black Swan Green, and your accent to my American ears is very similar to his. So I'm listening to you, and for a moment I'm thinking David Mitchell. Oh, this isn't David Mitchell. This is Paul Thompson. Well, I mean, it's been so really cool to talk with you. Can I ask you just one last question?
Yeah, of course.
Would you be willing to offer your fellow stutterers and stammerers any dating advice?
Don't hide from it. There's no point.
I love that. And by it, you mean don't hide from your stuttering or don't?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Because if you try not to stammer, you're just going to stammer anyway. So you may as well just get it out there. Let them talk about it. Because, I mean, as soon as you start stammering, they're gonna pick up on it, and they'll probably meant that they're gonna want to talk about it. So,
yeah, well, one of our hosts at Stutter Talk, Joel Cordy, I believe he said the same thing. The more he tries to hide it, the worse it gets.
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah, it's all about being relaxed.
All right. Well, thanks for making time to do this, Paul.
Okie doke. Sounds good. Yeah. Thanks.